Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Good to be here. Oh, it was a good time last night. I was all by myself in here praying last night for a couple hours, just with me and the Lord and some good praise music. Wow, what a wonderful presence. You know, God is in this place. Excuse me. God is in this place. There you go. Amen. Oh, we're going to have fun today. We are going to have fun today. If you looked on your bulletin, you see the message is about joy. And this is, we need to be joyous. Amen. Because the thing about it is God wants us filled with the fullness of his joy. The fullness of his joy. Because when we're full of his joy, it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Let me tell you something. And then these days, with all the stuff going on these days, we need his strength. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Got a lot of stuff going on this week. Need to make mention of some things. CWA women, by the way, and those online as well. CWA this weekend on Saturday, okay, 10 o'clock with brunch and everything. It's always a good time for everybody and time to share with everyone. And it's good to, not just from this church. I mean, the people from ladies from different churches. I know in our church over in Fort Lauderdale, when we were there in the women's group that started up over there, they wound up with women coming from 30-something different churches, I believe it was, wasn't it? Yeah. So it's kind of, and so men, the same thing. We've started the men's ministry back up again. And so we'll be meeting again. As a matter of fact, we've scheduled everything for the first Monday of each month. But since the first Monday of this next month is Labor Day, we're going to put it off to the second Monday, and just for that month, though. But we're also working on some projects that we're going to be putting together as well, and so that the men can get involved in doing some things to help out in that. Mark your calendar, okay? And it's in the bulletin as well to save the date, if you will. I know everybody's used to sending out these little cards for weddings and everything else on save the date. Well, save the date of October the 9th, okay? Because October the 9th, that's Saturday, October the 9th. And right now it's scheduled from 3 to 5, but we're working on some things. Hopefully we'll actually get it to be from 12 to 5 or 1 to 5 on Saturday. It's going to be a time of worship and a celebration of worship with different churches from the Southwest Florida area. Our Southwest Florida pastors and leaders have put this together, and it will be at Riverside Park right here in Bonita and doing the thing. And our praise band will be one of the featured praise bands there. So it's going to be a good time. But it's good. I hope we can just, like I said, just draw people in and have a good time and praise the Lord show people what it's all about to be children of the Most High God. Amen? So praise God. My wife is around here somewhere. I know she was, had a couple of things that she wanted to share with you as well. And then we'll get started and get going. And as a matter of fact, we can go ahead and if the praise team wants to go ahead and come on up and everything, then we'll get things put together and get ready to go.
Okay. I know that Nathan is on the camera. Let's see. All right. If we could have Dan and Jonah come up here. Oh, look, everybody's like, oh, no, what is she doing? Pastor Riley, could you cover for Nathan so that he could come up here for a minute? All right, and is Amy? Where is Amy? Amy Smith, could you come up here for a minute? Don't get nervous. By the way, could we thank Dan? Dan and Jonah own a piano company. They can put together a baby grand piano in about 30 seconds flat. He came in and tuned the piano, the baby grand piano, which that is their piano. So thank you. I played it later and I was like, whoa, this is awesome. So if you need a piano, they're the people. All right. Okay, we are just getting ready to enter into a new school year. And how many know Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy from our kids and grandkids? Okay, you got to be blind and not reading the paper or on the internet or whatever. Okay, so who has authority in here in the name of Jesus? Excuse me? Who has authority in here in the name of Jesus? He is not going to take away from our kids and our grandkids. Amen? All right. Okay. So we are on assignment. The school year starts this week in Lee County. What about Collier? Does anybody know about Collier?
It's the same Tuesday.
Same schedule? Okay. So, all right. So Nathan, if you could take a step forward. Nathan's going to stand in for all the kids. All right. Dan and Jonah for the parents and Amy for the teachers. Are you ready? Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put a supernatural hedge of protection around our children and grandchildren, any family member, neighbors, particularly in Southwest Florida, in the name of Jesus. We loose warring angels to stand guard, guard their minds, their bodies, their hearts, their spirits. Father, we think we come against any spirit of fear that has come upon them because of COVID and the separation that they have endured. Father, we thank you that they will fulfill the plans and purposes that you have given them, Lord. They are fearfully and wonderfully designed. We thank, we come against any gender confusion. Father, we come against strategies to try to confuse their minds or cause them to think of anything other than you and the plans and purposes that they have for them. Give them clarity as they study, Lord, and guide their paths to the plans and purposes that you ordained for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, we lift up the parents and the grandparents. Lord, we come against that fear of should they get a vaccine, should they not get a vaccine, should they be homeschooled. We come against the confusion and the fear and the anxiety that parents and grandparents and caregivers are getting, Lord. There's so many grandparents raising grandchildren, Father. Give them a special grace and courage and strength, Lord. Father, give these parents wisdom to know how to raise their children in the fear and admonition of God. And Lord, your word says to raise up a child in the way that he should go, and when they're not old, they will depart. Lord, give the parents peace as to when you raise them up and when they get old. Lord, we need peace for that gap, Lord. Sometimes they wander, but the prodigals are coming home. We declare it and we decree it in Jesus' name. Father, we pray over the teachers, the administration, the school board. Father, give them courage to stand up for what is right. Father, we thank you they will not be manipulated by a system that's set up by the world for failure. Lord, we thank you that the school boards will stand up and do the right thing. We come against the critical race theory and all the theories and the gender confusion they're trying to force on these children, Lord. And we thank you that the administrators and the teachers give them strength, expand their time. Lord, we thank you that they will have wisdom in how to minister to every single child because you have a plan and a purpose for them. Keep them healthy. Protect the teachers. Protect the administration and staff, Lord. Father, we command the spirit of COVID to die in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is greater than the spirit of COVID, Father. And we thank you that what was meant for the destruction of this generation will be used for the glory of God. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. All right. And so, Father, we pray for the service. Koshiatama shatama. Kashanama kotiyama sanama. Holy Spirit, come. You know what every single person in this room and in our internet family, you know exactly what they need to hear for this day. Lord, we declare and decree forgiveness, deliverance, healing, protection, and prosperity. We come against fear. We come against confusion. We come against betrayal and abandonment and all the strategies of the enemy in trying to steal, kill, and destroy from us. Lord, we thank you for the presence of God to come in and bring such light and peace and joy that it will annihilate any strategy of the enemy to try to discourage us or distract us. Father, put your word in Pastor Riley's mouth, and that word will not return void. And we thank you. We declare and decree 30, 60, and a hundredfold return. And when we walk out that door, we are going out that door armed as warriors of love for the kingdom of God. Father, we just praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, here we go. Oh, we have a short video.
the devil steals.
Good and your mercy endure forever. Everybody say it with me. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endure forever.
Here we go.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endure forever. worship and praise you today, Jesus. We worship and praise you today, God. You know, this next song, Ever Be, it talks about your love is devoted like a ring of solid gold. God's love is devoted to you like a ring of solid gold, like that promise. Like that promise. We talk a lot about the bridegroom and God's covenant with us. A covenant means it is not broken, can never be broken. It's not a contract. It's not something we say. It can never be broken. So this song illustrates the faith marriage between God and us, that covenant. He loves you so much. His love is enduring. He washes us clean, as white as snow. He loves you so much that it shall never be broken. It says in Ephaniah 3, Jerusalem will be told, do not be afraid. Dear Zion, do not despair. Your God is present among you, a strong warrior there to save you. Happy to have you back. He'll calm you with his love and delight you with his songs. The accumulated sorrows of your exile will dissipate. I, your God, will get rid of them for you. You've carried those burdens long enough. At the same time, I'll get rid of all those who've made your life miserable. I'll heal the maimed. I'll bring home the homeless. In the very countries where they were hated, they will be venerated. On Judgment Day, I'll bring you back home. A great family gathering, hallelujah. You'll be famous and honored all over the world. You'll see it with your own eyes. All those painful partings turn into reunions. This is God's promise. His promise to you, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you.
places to worship. We worship you, God. Stir in our hearts today. Let us have revival, but that's stirring. That constant renewal and stirring. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
I worship you.
we're so deep in love with you. Precious Jesus. Come on, church, let your heart just beat for him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we cry out to you this morning. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. You are our Father. You are our God. We're so in love. Oh, Lord, thank you for your love for us. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, karashi kare kite kararabo kota rashara de kararabo kota rashara de kararabo kota. Yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Oh. The Lord would say to you this morning, I love you, I love you, I love you. Never forget my love. The joy of the Father. He has a joy for us this morning, church. He wants us bathed in his joy, full of his joy. His joy. Lord, we just thank you for your presence, for the awesome presence of the Almighty God. Oh, Lord, I thank you that you are omnipresent, no matter where those are seeking you right now. Not just here, but all around the world. Your presence, and your power. Oh, you are omnipotent. You are all-powerful. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, overcome, overcome, overcome all the evil that is going on in this world right now. Lord, we long for your presence. We declare in the name of Jesus that the greatest revival has already begun.
Hallelujah.
Has already begun.
Yes, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. To God be all glory and honor and praise. Praise you, Jesus. For we lift up the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name above all names, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory unto your name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to stay standing right where you're at, because before we get started today, I just really have something that we just need to just do this. Today's message is all about joy. All about joy. And you know what? It's an interesting thing when I was looking at some stuff that the English Standard Version of the Bible has the words joy, rejoice, and joyful a total of 430 times. And yet, the word happy or happiness is only 10 times. There's a difference. Happiness, you know, depends on the circumstances that you're in, whereas joy is in spite of the circumstances.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord. Which is why I asked the praise team to stay up here with me for a minute. Because the real title of this message, as you see, the joy, this joy that I have. Well, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if the world didn't give it, then the world can't take it away.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So I've asked the band to just join with me. I just want to start this off this morning. I just want to wrap up this set. What a beautiful, wonderful worship set that we've had this morning. Amen. But I just want to kind of wrap it up with this. This song has just been reverberating in my spirit for the last several days and everything. It's a song that we did years ago, but it just, well, you know, let's just get some joy in this place, okay? All right? So let's just get into this. Let's just go ahead. Just crank this up, okay?
Who's got joy today?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. And I get to sing along with them. Hey. Can be seated if you can.
I just want to keep going
with that. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. And you have a word that you would like to share that my wife said that you have? Okay.
There's a very special presence here this morning. I feel that his There's a deepening presence, and I just keep hearing, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Because this that we just sang, this is so personal. This is so intimate. This goes so deep into us, and the Lord is infusing this joy, this life, this love, this peace. This faith, it's not just a knowledge that we have, it's an intimate knowing. And I feel his face is right here, like in front of every person, just drawing us into his eyes to see deep within the Lord what he wants to speak to each of us today. That joy comes from such a powerful witness of oneness with him, and this is what he wants to bring to us today. Thank you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Whew, this joy that I have, you know. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people say, you know, are you, you know, and I've said this before, people have said to me, are you really that happy all the time? Yeah, most of it. You know, because why? Because that joy, it's a joy rather than a happiness. You know, we read in the scriptures that the joy is really a state of being. It's different from happiness. It is. It's different from happiness. You know, happiness can come and go, you know, because it depends on the circumstances. And the thing that we are is, you know, the thing is that we have something different. As a Christian and as someone who has the Holy Spirit in you and everything, we have something that can't be taken away. It can't be taken away. You can give it away. You know, you can give it up if that's what you want to do, but, you know, it can't be taken. We can hold on to that joy, and we can feel joyful, and we can rejoice and praise no matter what the circumstances that we're going through, no matter what it is, no matter what's going on in our life. Why? Because God is always near to us, because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And when we have that's joy in us. The word that God gave me for this week for everyone was joyously, and I'm going, joyously. Yeah, how is that? And then I tried to figure out, you know, just exactly in the definition of joy and joyous and everything, exactly what that was. Well, joyously means with extreme delight. Amen. That you accomplish something, you're doing something with extreme delight. That this is a sense within you that you can't have otherwise. And it's just something that only comes from God. You know, it only comes from the promises that we get from him, the very promises of his word. Why? Because we are children of the Most High God. And it gives us something that, you know, if that can't bring you joy, I don't know what can, you know? The fact of who you are, and not only that, but whose you are. One of the promises that God gives us, if you look over in John 14:27, he says this. He says, I am leaving you with a gift. Oh, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. You know, this is a gift. This is a precious gift that he's given us, and we make the decision to receive it or not. But it's a choice that we have. It's just like, you know, just like we're told in one of my favorite scriptures. My wife will always tell you, you know, what's one of your favorite scriptures? Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11 says this. It says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is a fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The thing that we've got to understand is that fullness of joy, that fullness of joy that he says, but what is it that it requires of us in order to get that? In his presence. In his presence. Where is that fullness of joy? In his presence. How do you get into his presence? We just were. We still are. Why? Because he shows that he inhabits the praises of his people. You know, even if you're having a bad day, you can joyfully focus on him. Think about that. We can focus on our Savior. We can focus on who he is in our life and who Jesus is in the world. And no matter how down we are, no matter how far down we get, no matter what circumstances we're going through, you know, we can look to the name of Jesus, and we can look to the things that are found, the promises that are found in the very scriptures that are there. And that's how you get into his presence as well. You know, get into his word, because he is the word. And when you're in his word, when you're in the presence, you know, it's filled with examples. Like I said, if you look what I just said at the beginning, in the English Standard Version of the Bible and everything, joy or joyful or rejoice, you know, 430 something times, it tells you, you better, you know, be happy in him, because happiness is not found in the world. You know, we get into the things that he gives us in his promises all through the word. If you look at the weekly word that I put in your bulletin and everything, a combination of a couple of the scriptures of John 15:11 and Romans 15:13, it says, Jesus said, I have told you this, or in other words, one of the other things that says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How is your joy complete? By his joy being in you. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Oh, say all joy. See? all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. See, people want joy. People want joy. God created us to want joy. We're hardwired to experience joy, the things that God has. The problem is that we settle for happiness. I mean, that's a fact. Rather than seeking the joy, we settle for happiness. And let me tell you something. Happiness is fickle at best. Happiness depends on what happens. It's kind of like, the Texas weather. You know, it's great right now, and then, an hour from now, it's stormy, you know? Well, Florida weather's pretty much the same way, so, you know. I mean, think about it. 1 minute, it's beautiful. The next minute, bleh, you know. But if our happiness is based on something in our life like that that's fickle, then our mood is going to swing like a pendulum back and forth. And I know none of you have ever been moody, right? Yeah. Okay. Don't do it now, Lord. Okay, yeah. I mean, but think about it. Joy is transcendent. Joy is grounded in something that's far greater and deeper than our circumstances. Joy is something completely different. And it's so sad that we live in a culture that is so obsessed with finding joy, which they're made for, they're supposed to, but they're looking in all the wrong places. You know, that old song, looking in love in all the wrong places? Well, let me say, people are looking for joy in all the wrong places, too, because they're not going to find it in the TV shows and in the things that are there. I mean, there's just something, you know, this is why as Christians, the world needs to look at us and not see a bunch of long, depressed faces. People need to look at us and see the joy in us. That's one of the reasons why we want to do this worship celebration October 9th, you know, in Bonita here, is so that people can see the joy of the Lord in us and through us and say, boy, what is it with you, you know? Because otherwise, I mean, you know, church is not a place for somberness and deadness, people. Church is a place for celebration. Church is a place for raising your voices and praising God and truly understanding the fact that this is a place of joy. It's a place of joy. God wills for us to be spirit-controlled and joy-filled people. We're supposed to be joy-filled people. You know, a friend of mine once told me, you know, the biggest problem with people is they just need to lighten up. Amen. Quit taking themselves so seriously. And I thought about it, and I thought, yeah, look who he's talking to. You know? You got to lighten up. You got to get into the thing. Nothing kills joy faster than complaining. I mean, you want to kill joy completely? Complain. You know, and that's part of the problem that we have. And the thing of it is that the Word tells us that. The Word says we're not to do that. Well, look over in Philippians 2, in fact, what he tells us very plainly. He says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Oh, that's pretty simple. Pretty straightforward, okay? Do everything. That doesn't leave anything out. So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Hold firmly to the word of life. We've got to realize that instead of complaining, we have every reason, we have every compelling and realistic reason to rejoice. Greatest reason I know to rejoice is our salvation and our relationship with God. Boy, if that doesn't make you happy, you know, then the world's got you. I mean, I look at it and I really believe that the lack of joy is primarily spiritual. It's primarily a spiritual issue. It really is. You know, if you look at what God says in his word, he puts it in his word, all of the things that he says. He tries to get us to hopefully pay attention to what his word says and to what the promises are to get us to do something about it, to where we don't have that lack of joy. I mean, think about his word. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Let's just go through the word a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, always be joyful. Okay, Lord, sometimes I'm supposed to. No, always. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You know, let's look to his word, and let's look at what it says. You know, if we're going to build the fires of joy in our spirit, you know, what is joy? What is joy according to the word? Well, in Galatians, for instance, he says joy is a fruit of the spirit. In John 15, he says it's a byproduct of remaining in God's love. Joy is the flag that we fly from the castle tower when our hearts, you know, when the king is in residence. You know, that's what they used to do in the old times, you know, in the castle, you know, whenever the king would travel, they would put his flag up on the, well, if when the king is in resident in your heart, joy is the flag that you fly. Makes sense? You know, think about that. You know, joy is that exaltation of that inward being that comes from that harmony that you have with God and yourself and others. It's just like, what do they say? Joy is Jesus, others, and yourself. You know, where's it come from? First Jesus, others, and then yourself. But the whole thing is that we're to be joyful always. Always. Not sometimes, but, you know, the thing of it is that you start telling people that. And I've told people exactly, look at what the word says about it, and you start telling them that, and sure enough, you know, the first thing that you do is you get somebody coming back with complaints. You know, how can I always, you know, how can I possibly be happy all or joyful all the time with all the plans or pain and difficulty and everything else that God has allowed to enter into my life? Well, there we go. What did that say back in the other scriptures? Don't complain. Don't argue. Always. I mean, but we look at it and we look at it, say, well, how can I possibly be joyful all the time? Well, that's a fair question, but God has a good answer for it too. God makes a distinction between joy and happiness. He tells us that joy is that inner serenity, that serenity of the soul, you know, not in the circumstances, but regardless of everything else that's going on. You know, in other words, the world didn't give it to me, and see, you know, that's what it says. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. You know, we've got to realize that that's part of the whole thing that God gives us, that assurance that we have. So we've got to face what we're looking at and look at. Well, there's an interesting story about Nathaniel Hawthorne that I really love. It's about one day he came home all heartbroken and everything, feeling like a failure because he had been fired from his job. And his wife looked at him and says, well, guess what? Now you can write that book. Oh, my wife is looking at me saying, now you can write that book. No. But he said to her, but what are we going to live on in the meantime? And she said, well, you know, I've always known that you're a man of genius. And I knew that someday you would write a masterpiece. So every week I pulled a little bit of money out of that substantial money that you gave me for the household things every week. And I've been putting it back and putting it back. And now I have enough to last us for a whole year. So she greeted her husband's apparent defeat instead with joy and optimism and expectancy. And that door then was opened for him to write one of the greatest novels of American literature, The Scarlet Letter. But how did that happen? It happened through her joy and her staying with it and giving him the joy of understanding that with it. And if it was in my power, for instance, right now, if it was in my power to give you the gift of being able to trust God's love and goodness no matter what the circumstances or what storm you're going through and everything, I would gladly do it. But the truth is, I can't. That's only between you and God. Only you and God can do that. Only you can do that of what God expects for you to do. But joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. And there's several reasons why joy is a choice. And let's go back in the first part of the scripture, the first scripture part of the weekly word. It was over there in John 15, 11. And it says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. In other words, he says, so that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. But what is it? What is it that he's saying when he says, I've told you these things, or in other words, in the weekly word I told you this. What is he referring to there? What does he mean by that? Well, he's going back to the previous scriptures right before that, to John 15, 9 and 10. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So what is he really saying? He's saying, you know, look at the sequence of things. Look at the sequence of those verses, starting in verse 9. To have joy, you have to abide in God's love. But in verse 10, to abide in God's love, you have to obey his commandments. So in other words, joy is the result, or the fruit thereof, in other words, of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And this is a decision that we make to obey God's commands. So a lot of times, if you're not joyful, if you're not filled with God's joy, maybe it's because you're not abiding in his love. Maybe it's because you're not following his commands. Because he gives you those things. He gives you those for a reason. And we can put things together all that we want to for our joy, but joy is a choice. It's an indirect choice and a byproduct of our experience of God's love. If you don't have God's love, and that's why, you know, sometimes when I'm talking to people and they say, well, you know, I don't get this joy part. And then they turn right back around and says, well, but I don't feel like I'm loved. And there's a reason why. See, we've got to get back into what God has, and we can't abide in God's love without having that strong personal relationship with him. How can you abide? How can you feel the love that someone has for you? It's just like I've talked about the Holy Spirit, for instance, you know, and the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is him. The Holy Spirit is the person, the very personage of God. And, you know, it's kind of hard to have an intimate relationship with an it, you know. I was talking to John earlier about freezers or whatever. That's a good example. It'd be real hard to have an intimate relationship with a freezer, right? But the problem is that you'd get kind of a cold shoulder. That's yeah. The problem is that we've got to realize that the joy of the Lord is in his presence. The joy of the Lord that is our strength comes from having that intimate relationship with him, having that choice that we made of that byproduct of his love, you know, that comes from that. But I'll tell you something else. Praying for others will also get you in another place. Praying for others can lead to joy because it takes our focus off of our own needs and our personal things and puts it on praying for others. I mean, for instance, have you ever been in a worship service where something that happened that just wasn't to your liking? No? Okay. But anyway, if you have, but let's just put it this way. If you're in a situation like that, what you need to do, pray for the fact that the others that are there will enjoy it. But if you're praying for others, you know, it will take it away from your own self and from the very things that you're doing. It can make it more meaningful. You know, in other words, pray that what you didn't like, others will like. You understand what I'm saying? And it's amazing what will happen and the joy that comes in. I mean, Paul, even while he was in prison, was telling people, you know, giving the word to people. Here he is, you know, in a Roman prison and everything, and he's writing a letter to the Philippians. Well, look at Philippians 4. In Philippians 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Rejoice always. Now, you know, if our source of joy is God and not our circumstances, where are we to rejoice? In the Lord. We don't rejoice necessarily in the circumstance or what's going on. There's always a cause for rejoicing when it's God. You know, when I can rejoice in the things that he's doing and the things that he does for us and in all the different things. When you're grateful, it's hard for you not to be joyful, being thankful. But when you're complaining, you know, it takes it away. If you go back over, for instance, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he really gives us that major step there by saying, no matter what happens, always be thankful. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. Jesus wants us to be thankful. Jesus wants us to be grateful and to be happy in all of those things. So if you look at it, there's really a very high correlation between joy-filled people and thankful people. When you find somebody that's thankful, when you're around somebody that's thankful and they're grateful, don't you find that they're joyful? They're happy? But I will tell you something. I find that very ungrateful people, if I'm around ungrateful people, have you ever been around somebody that's ungrateful? Have you ever seen, okay? Are they happy? No. I mean, I've never found them to be happy. Because they find gloom and doom in everything that they do. Why? Because they're not thankful for anything. I mean, maybe we don't understand, what God is doing in our lives, but we trust him anyway, and we thank him in advance. And when we don't understand his plan and we can't find his things, we can always trust his heart. We always trust the heart of God, no matter what the situation is. So what I want to do this morning is I want to kind of wrap things up with this and take a little bit of time to give you 10 ways to be strengthened by the joy of the Lord. There's 10 things that you can do to strengthen your joy in the Lord. First of all, make a list of God's blessings. Make a list of his blessings. Take the time to actually sit down and make a list and say, how many would go through? You remember that old song, count your blessings one by one? Well, count your blessings. Go through. Make a list of your blessings. Schedule a time to focus on the blessings that God's given you. And boy, let me tell you, they're a source of joy when you really start going, oh my goodness, God, you did this for me. God, you did that for me. And I was talking with Jim and Connie earlier before service about what God has been doing and how God has blessed their lives. When you're faithful and when you do the things and you're thankful for God, it's an amazing thing that happens, the joy that comes in. Number two, develop an attitude of gratitude. That thread of gratitude can actually become a lifeline. It'll give you that joy, and it becomes that lifeline that you can hold on to get through some of the most difficult circumstances. I know my wife and I, when we've been going through some difficult times and everything, the thing that we'll do is go back and remember the joyful things. We'll look at the things that give us joy. And it pulls you through and it reminds you, well, wait a minute, this isn't so bad. Look at all the things that God has done. A sense of joy that, we learned that we need to, number three, you need to learn to love what God loves. The only way to be full of joy is to look for it in God and not in our circumstances. Learning how to please God can be a great sense of joy. I mean, I know in Hebrews 11:6 it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God and know who he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. Well, diligently seeking after him, being in his word, learn to love what God loves. God loves someone who's faithful. God loves someone who can tell him what his word is. You can't tell him what his word is. You can't speak the promise to the problem if you don't know what the promise is. Learn to love what God loves. Number four, and this will get some of you, give away what you need.
Amen. That's right.
Say, Well, you can't impart what you do not first possess. So giving takes our eyes off of ourselves. A lot of times if you're in a situation, I love it. My wife is always telling me you can't get something if you don't sow something. A lot of times you need to sow what it is that you need for the recognition that it is and the joy that you get out of it. Give it away. We did this all this week. We were giving stuff away all week long, trying to give it away, and everybody kept giving us stuff back. You drop something off at somebody's house, and they said, oh, by the way, you take this, okay? Okay, now I got to find a place for that, But, it's fun. It's fun. It's all part of it. It's all part of it. Number five, shift your focus. The law of attraction says that whatever you focus on, you get more of. Well, your heart secretly attracts what it loves or fears. So as we learn to focus our faith on Jesus, we learn to find our joy in knowing and loving and serving Him. So where's your focus? What is your focus during the day? You know, what do you spend your time on? Because just like I said last week, everybody's going to conform to something. I'd rather conform to the things of the Lord. You know, you got to realize that you know, what do you spend your time on and what do you spend your time with? Where's your mind? You know, what are you concentrating on? Because that becomes your God. So I'd rather that if I'm going to focus on something, I'd rather it be God. Amen? Just makes sense. Simple little things. Number 6, create a comprehensive growth plan. In other words, seek to live a biblically balanced life, just like Jesus. The more that you try to be like Jesus, guess what? The more you'll find that you try to be like Jesus. But if you don't have that as your growth plan, if you don't have that as a plan, then it's an amazing thing because you don't focus on those things and you don't put that as a priority in your life. We all have those things that we need to look at. Focus number 7, focus on knowing, believing, meditating, and obeying God's word. Remember what Jesus said in John 15:11. He says, I have told you this, I have told you these things, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Focus on knowing his word. I mean, this is something that is just, for the last several years, has been something I guess is a real point for my wife and I, why you hear us say it all the time. Be in the Word, be in the Word, be in the Word, be in the Word. That's why we've given away so many of these Bibles, these, you know, one-year Bibles, you know, trying to get people to be in the Word. Well, I have a hard time getting in the Word. I have a hard time reading. Well, that's why we give the one-year Bible that's broken down in such a simple way that you can read through it, you know, 15 minutes a day, you know, and you can read through the whole Bible in a year and get the different parts of it, and you don't get stuck in any different part of it. And we've given away hundreds of them. Why? Because we want you in the Word, and we want people to know what it says. And yes, we get it back from people all the time. Well, I don't really understand what it says. No, but your spirit does. I mean, you know, there's parts of Lamentations and so forth that I'm still trying to figure out. And I've been through the Word many, 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 many times, you know. But it's the whole thing. But you find something new all the time. There is something new in the Word every single day. I don't care how much you think you know it. God will show you something new all the time. I happen to like Job, you know. You know, a lot of people, oh, man, how do you like Job? You know, go through all this. Well, yeah, but I know what comes at the end. All those wonderful things that God reveals to us through all of it. It's just, you know, it's his word, though. That's the whole thing. It's his word. Number 8, realize that joy is a fruit, or in other words, a result of being controlled by the Spirit. The Spirit of God. The joy of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy is one of the major parts of it. In order to be controlled by the Spirit, we need to submit to the Spirit's control, which involves making God's word the final authority for our faith and practice. God's word. What do you go by? It's, well, you know, you get this statement anymore about, well, all of truth is relative. No. It's the world's truth, and then there's God's truth. And if it's God's truth, then I know it's true. Well, I heard it on the internet, or I saw it, you know, oh boy. You know, Facebook. Yeah, right. We're trying to use the things that, thank God, we can still use some of the technology that we have today to get the word out, you know, to do the right things. But we've got to realize that fruit of the Spirit that is joy comes from being controlled by the Spirit. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Number 9, learn how to experience the greatest joy on earth. In 3 John 4, John says this. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. No greater joy. My greatest joy is knowing, not just that my children, but my greatest joy is knowing that y'all are hearing and following the word and applying the word of God in your life. Makes me happy. Makes me very happy to see that, to know that you're really, truly following after the word of God. And that's the same thing. It's the same thing for you. You know, have no greater joy than to hear that my children, have no greater joy than to know that my children are following after the word of God. That gives you a truth. But first of all, they've got to see it in you. You know, it's not just your children, it's your friends, it's your neighbors, it's the people that you witness to. Are they seeing it in you? Because I'm going to tell you something. If they don't see, if all they see from you is, then guess what? They're not going to want that a whole lot. But if they see the joy in you, that's why I say all the time, when you get up in the morning, how do you get up in the morning? You get up thanking God in the morning. You get up, you know, coming out and truly saying, this is the day that you've made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to see what this day holds for me. You know, I'm going to be happy about it. I'm going to see what's going on out there. Lord, what are we going to do today? Or do you get up and, oh boy, another day? Because if you get up that way, guess what? That's exactly what you're going to have, is another day. But when you get up with the joy of the Lord, and we get up with that as your way of doing things, yeah, sometimes I'm sure that my wife is not real happy about the fact that the way that I get up in the morning and ready to go. But I'm ready to roll. She's down there going. She's got to have her cup of coffee, you know. Yeah. No. But I do. I get up in the morning ready to roll, you know. I'm ready for God to bring me what he will. But that's the part of it. So finally, number 10. Number 10, choose joy. That's the biggest part of it. All of those other ones all boil down to one thing. Choose joy. Because that's always an option that's available to you. As a child of God, as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, if you've lost your joy, guess what? You can rediscover it. It's easy. You learn to live and love God's word. You submit yourselves moment by moment to God's control, and you choose joy by cultivating an attitude of gratitude, learning to practice being in the presence of God, learning to practice being in the presence through prayer. See, the favor that God shows and the joy that he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Some of you may recognize that's words out of one of the famous songs, but the favor God shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. So that's your choice. What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? Excuse me, what are you going to choose?
Joy.
There you go. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, thank you for the word that you've given us. Thank you for your joy. Because truly, Lord, we do declare that the world didn't give it to us. And the world can't take it away. Because this joy comes from you. Only with you, through you, for you. Lord, your joy above everything else. Your joy. And we're going to share that joy with everyone that we meet. And we're going to let everyone know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that the joy of the Lord is what gets us going. And we praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's a good day. Good day. Good spirit of the Lord in this place. I just invite everyone to, like I said, to just let God be God in your life. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the joy of the Lord be the fullness that he wants for you. And you can be happy all the time as well. It's just, you know, whatever happens, whatever goes on, no matter what the circumstance, remember, that's when joy comes in. When you're going through those circumstances that take away your happiness, then come back to the whole situation and say, no, I have the Lord's joy. And when I know that I've got his joy in me, nothing can take it away. Nothing can take it away. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You have something you want to say? Yeah? No, I'm not going to make you do it without the microphone.
I only do this so that the internet family can hear. This principle here is exactly why the entertainment business is a billion dollar business. Because Americans particularly want to have that feel-good happiness. Think about how much it costs to go to Disney. And you get all excited. And you go to Disney and you come home and it's like, that's it? Right? That is happiness based on an incident. Joy is priceless. Joy is priceless. When we went through the loss of our daughter, I don't know how God gave us the strength to do it, but he did give us joy through the process. And when we saw those hundreds of kids, teenagers, give their life to the Lord, that was priceless joy. So how you can do this? An easy way. Who has trouble sleeping at night? Okay, here's something that might help you. When you're going to bed, because is it hard to shut this off? Is that the problem? Okay, start being grateful. I'd make a list of 5 things. Oh my gosh, I'm usually on 15 and I'm out. Just start thanking him for the little things. That incredible sunset. We get up at dark 30 every morning. It's weird. There's usually one little cloud way off, and there's incredible lightning out of this one little bitty cloud. God made that lightning. Okay, so I encourage you to do that. If you have trouble sleeping, I never have trouble sleeping, but I go in high gear after my cup of coffee. But anyway, just try that. Maybe that'll be helpful to y'all.
Now we're back to the count your blessings, right? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Yeah. Yeah, it's like she said, if you do that, you start counting your blessings and going through them, you'll never get to the end of it before you go to sleep. Why? Because God gives you that peace. He gives you that joy so that you can do that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, we found a good song to end with. This is a good song to end this service with today. It's Phil Wickham. And, you know, it's just called The House of the Lord. But because in the house of the Lord, there's joy. Amen? So it's a good song to end with. And if you need to come to the altar and spend time with the Lord, getting your joy back, this would be a good time to do it. Come take communion, bring your tithe and offering. If you need prayer, by all means, you know, come on up and we'll pray with you. I'm just so filled with the presence right now. You know, it's one of those kind of deals you want to end and you don't want to end all at the same time, because I'm just filled with such a presence today. It's just wonderful. Just wonderful. Can you just feel his presence in this place? You know, it's just amazing, amazing deal today. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's just get into this song. Let's just see what happens at the end. Okay.
The God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Amen. There's joy today. Praise God. Praise God. All right, one quick note before just releasing y'all. And, you know, praise God. What a wonderful day. And by the way, there's all kinds of goodies in the back you can, you know, partake of and or not partake of if you don't want any carbohydrates or whatever. But there's a lot of stuff back there. Just to call your attention to this little guy over here. Our suit of armor is back with us, and we'll probably move him back up to the front or whatever, but it's just a reminder to put on the armor of God, put on the full armor of God every day. We our Bible study that we started this last week on Thursday night is dealing with spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is real, and we're going to be dealing with that, and so this is just a reminder that we're in a battle. And you need to put on your spiritual armor every day and be prepared, okay? Put on the helmet of salvation, you know, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace upon your feet. Take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then you've always got your backside covered because God says that, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, we will fear no evil, for the rod and staff are with us. And surely goodness and mercy will follow you every day of your life. So he's got your backside covered as well. But remember that all of these things, we need to be prepared, okay? Be prepared, because we're in a battle. Amen? But a battle that what? We're going to win because it's already been won. Amen? In Jesus' name. God bless y'all. May the favor of God be upon you. In Jesus' name.